Hi, I'm Rachel Roberts.
And I'm Megan Segura.
And you're listening to The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Well, should we just get right into Bravo news?
Well, I did want to say I felt super fancy last night because Ashley Darby of the Potomac Housewives tagged me as the photo taker in her photo on Instagram last
night. That's so nice.
I know.
Like, nice that she remembered who took the photo and gave you proper cred.
Maybe the nicest thing a housewife has ever done, besides her giving me candy.
Yeah, she's very sweet.
She's a giving lady.
Did you get any followers off the tag?
Maybe like one, Nicole.
Oh, I was just wondering.
Rude.
I just wanted to know.
Shade. The shade has begun. We're not even talking about the reunions left.
I was inquiring. All right.
Anyway, I just wanted to brag.
So what is the Bravo news?
Southern Charm's Ashley Jacobs confirms her split from Thomas Ravenel. It's official.
I mean, this is just crazy.
I know. I can't believe we're only talking about it now. I understand, fans, we've been dying to talk about this. We recorded it like moments before
right.
She made this announcement.
I mean, what's going to happen now? I mean, okay, here's, I think, the question it leaves for everyone. Are we going to see her next season?
Right. Will she be coming back? Will she be in those title credits?
Will she and Catherine sort of join alliances as Thomas's ex?
What do you think she will have to do? Because I think it's going to have to be a gesture of some sort.
Oh,
I don't think just
yeah.
an apology is
no.
enough.
Like buy her a house, maybe.
Right, right. Buy her a house. I was thinking throw a party, but buy a house, you know, another option.
What is the craziest over-the-top way someone's apologized to you?
A rap song.
Ooh!
And it was a bad song.
Oh.
It was terrible.
What was he apologizing for?
A lot of f***ed up.
Oh. Was this an ex? Was this a boy?
Not a real ex.
Did it make up for it?
No.
No.
It has to be a hit if you're going to apologize. It was terrible.
I've never gotten anything as an apology, which pisses me off now that I'm saying it out loud. Like, no one's ever given me anything. We just had, like, conversation and they'll apologize. But, like, roses or something, you know? Mm. That would be nice.
Like a gesture.
Like a gesture, right. Like a house. What about you?
I mean, I've gotten a lot of, like, apology flowers, but nothing crazy where I'm like, well, now I have to forgive this person. Mm.
So what we're saying is the bar is low for us, but probably high for Catherine.
But yeah, I guess as soon as I said it, I was like, God, a house would be a nice way to apologize to someone.
Hell yeah, I will forgive.
Yeah, I can't think of anything like big I've ever gotten. Maybe my dad got me something big once to like apologize or something.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. I feel like most dads would be like, the f*** am I apologizing to you for?
Well, you don't know my father.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just excited by the possibility of what's to come. I hope we're filming now. I cannot confirm or deny. We don't even know if there's going to be another season, but
God willing.
God willing, we'll get some answers.
All right, what else?
All right, so more news. Charlie Sheen shared his sentiments about, you know, Denise Richards joining.
For those of you who don't know, Charlie Sheen is Denise Richards' ex-husband.
Right. But he seems pretty, like, supportive. Said that it was fabulous.
Fabulous?
The word's fabulous. That's what he used.
Did he say she's hashtag winning?
No, that's not there.
It was another time.
So this means he might participate in the show.
You think that that's what this means?
That's what I'm taking from it.
Well, he said, I'm sorry. He said that he's never seen the show before. And then he said, well, I guess I have to tune in now. So
yes, yay! One more viewer. Yeah. He's going to get sucked in. And he's going to watch all of them.
Yes.
I love him. I know he's very controversial.
Right.
Mine thought of him ends maybe like 2000.
Oh, okay.
Like that's where I end.
What happened in 2000?
Well, like after that, then there was like Two and a Half Men and
right.
I think of him as in Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, that was way before,
way before 2000. But like up until then.
Yeah.
He just, he's so cute in that movie.
Would you marry him?
Now, post 2000, no. In that movie, yes. You
cool.
know, he said he stayed up like 3 days before filming those scenes to get this authentic, like, raw.
He did what?
He, like, stayed up for 3 days before filming those scenes.
Three days straight?
Yeah.
That could kill you.
Right.
I know. He's dangerous.
Survivor. More news, more news, more news.
Kay. More news.
All right. Atlanta's Candy Burrs announced a new location for Old Lady Gang Restaurant, which is opening at Phillips Arena in Atlanta, which is pretty huge.
Wow. I mean, successful enough that it survived that first couple years.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then now it's doing well enough that they can have two locations. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. Well, I just keep thinking of all like the crazy lines we would see on the show of people like around the corner and then being like, we don't have enough room for anybody.
I mean, it makes sense. If I went to Atlanta tomorrow, I would definitely go there.
I've heard good things. My friend had like her birthday dinner there. They said the food is really good. Yes. So that's all that really matters, honestly.
Right. Right.
Yeah. The food's good. What else matters?
It's what you want out of a restaurant for sure.
Right. Because you are going there to eat. Good point. Good point. That's all the news I have.
So, Rachel, I think it's time for us to go deep. So, I want to talk about, well, we both want to talk about the reunions.
Reunion-palooza.
Reunion-palooza. So, we have the conclusion of Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yes.
And then the beginning of Real Housewives of New York. And usually I like us to wait till we've had all the reunions air so we can talk about all of it at once. But I feel like with New York, you can't wait.
No.
So much already happened.
They've like started out on 10.
Yes. So should we start with Potomac?
Yeah, let's start with Potomac. We have a little tidbit from Giselle about all of that.
Okay, so let's start with the looks.
I thought they all looked great.
The second time I watched the second part of the Potomac reunion, I noticed Giselle's glitter tights.
Tights? Yeah, no, it's like, so they were like kind of fishnetty and they had nude. Like gems all over them.
I wore those when I went to Carnival.
I almost commented being like, you look like Giselle right now.
And like, what? It works for that.
Carnival, right.
But for a reunion, you really just need a bare shiny leg.
Yeah. Right, and I think that she thought it would look not... So it wouldn't show up as much. It would maybe just look like sparkly.
But it showed up a lot.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that the rest of her outfit was so like elegant.
Okay,
and like,
yeah.
Like higher
classy.
Class. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Elegant's a good
elegant.
Word.
And then those kind of just like were a different. It was maybe Carnival
right.
A little bit.
Different crowd.
Yeah. Different crowd. The earrings, to me, though, made the look, because I saw it without the earrings at first, and I was like, okay, and then she put the earrings on, and I was like, okay.
I've realized that for me, it's hard for a reunion look to impress me, because for the most part, they really do look like pageant gowns.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't really, that's not really my style.
Well, I found that couch very pageant-y, but you had Ashley, who literally was like, I talked to her backstage, and she's like, I went to the store that I get my pageant dresses at.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And Robin got hers custom made because she wanted to wear purple, which I didn't think that was too pageant-y, but it had a lot of sparkle.
Right. So, yeah, I like it when people change up the fabric, like Candace. At least hers was like a chiffon,
sort of. A silk.
Yeah, instead of that like sateen. Is that right?
Totally. Yeah.
Clearly, we're fashion experts.
Yeah. and as I've said many a time, I liked Karen's just for the back of it.
Right.
I loved it.
Candace's was my favorite look.
Oh, yeah, it was a good one. It was like, a good overall look.
Yeah, I loved the choker with it. I thought the shoes were great. I liked the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I liked the bold yellow. First reunion, make a statement.
Yes.
But into the drama. Woo!
Should we pick our like top five, whether it's moments, questions, points of interest? Go.
Okay, this is in no particular order. Obviously, I want to talk about the walk-off.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about it yet. I was there. It lasted so much longer than you saw. And Karen was literally like wailing. Like I was in the room next to her and you could hear it through the wall.
I'm sorry about your dad.
Me too.
Yeah. That was...
Okay. I need a break.
I knew this was going to be hard for her. Like, she was breaking down earlier before we got dressed.
She just buried him on
Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Just walk.
to do this. It's too small.
Wow.
That's sad.
It was sad. It was really intense. And I thought her and Giselle really came together after it. And I was like, this is real friendship. Like, despite everything that they've been through, like, Giselle's going to step up and be there for Karen, you know?
I mean, I will say that kind of goes into my biggest takeaway from this, which was comparing this to the Real Housewives of New York reunion. These ladies are in a much nicer place. Like, their fighting is so surface level where I feel like, yes, Giselle and Karen are facing off on different sides of the couch, but they're there for each other. And I don't know that I would have seen that side from Bethany or Carol.
Right. We're at, in Roni, I feel like we're beyond the point of, but at the end of the day, I'm going to support you.
Yes.
Or like, I would never cross a line. But I will say that we, this is another thing I wanted to talk about, is like, were their lines crossed because Ray and Michael really like went in on each other?
Second point. That I just felt like Michael was so mean.
Came in guns blazing.
Yes.
Like, ready.
Passport ready.
I mean, and just in a... there's something about Ray that he's a sweet older man. That why are you coming at him like that?
None of this makes sense from a financial standpoint. And Ray, I presume you're a smart businessman, even though you have your tax problems, which, by the way, I don't get either, because you're meant to have accountants and people that help you with that, and you're meant to be, as a business owner, you're meant to sign the tax returns every time you put a tax return in. I don't sign any tax returns unless I know what the tax returns say. So none of this makes sense. None of it, anything that you ever say makes sense to
me.
There's no logic. There's no logic to anything you say. So, you know, and then you never explain it. Anything.
We don't owe you an explanation.
Right. And he's clearly like uncomfortable. He clearly can't say anything more than what he is saying.
Not that I don't get the point of frustration, because one of the things Michael said is like, oh, Karen is like Teflon. And I agree. Like, really, she wasn't answering for a lot of things.
Right. And she's won't.
Right.
And she says, like, I have no reason. I don't have to tell you.
Leave Ray out of it.
Right.
Sweet Ray.
I loved that they subtitled all the other commentary of everyone on the couch being
he's
got no morals. There's no line with this guy. I loved, hands up to Candace's now husband being like, you just went off for like 10 minutes and now you're going to let the man speak? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I loved that they all were saying that.
I thought the best parts of that reunion were with the husbands.
Yes, I loved it. Speaking of that part two, I loved that a sex dungeon joke came up.
Right.
Like, if that could come up in every Housewives franchise.
Because do you feel like they were referencing Real Housewives of Atlanta?
I cannot imagine that they were not.
Okay.
Right? That was like a dog whistle to Atlanta fans.
Okay. Here was my biggest, like, yelling at the TV moment.
Okay.
Ray, you are not helping your case when you say that you too thought Karen was cheating with Blue Eyes.
When he said that, I was like, I had to run it back.
It's because like, it's like, if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck. So you have some people who already think it, and he's like, oh yeah, I thought it too. It's like, well, and then I just loved that
Karen was like, see?
See? And I was like, I love that Ashley was like, trust your instincts, Ray.
Everyone's face when he said that, everyone just looked back like, what'd you just say?
I want to talk a little bit about this Kendall, Charisse, Giselle, Monique situation.
I just think there's something happening between for Charisse. Like, I think there's something happening. There is an unspoken reason Charisse dislikes
Monique
so much.
And she's not saying it.
Yeah, either she can't, she's not able to because maybe it deals with production or something like that. But like, there's got to be more to it than what she's saying.
Because when I talked to Monique and Chris backstage, they were like, she was my ride or die.
Yeah.
I can't believe that she's turned on me like this. So I think it's even like, she's not even telling Monique. It's like she's not even telling anybody.
It really could be a jealousy thing. In that she brought Monique into the group, and now Monique is flourishing as a housewife, and Charisse is now a friend of.
I could see that.
especially given the context of what Ashley told us, which is that they were all were in a group chat. And after Charisse, I guess, was not coming back as a Real Housewife, she said, you know, not to be rude, but can I please be removed? I don't need to be part of this conversation.
Absolutely. And I also think that it's odd that Giselle is so willing to forgive Charisse, but it's like Monique is the one.
Yeah.
That, but it's like, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, and I said this in my interview with Giselle, because she was like, do you feel like it was cleared up? And I was like, no. I was like, I'm still conflicted on like what really happened, or like where the line was when Charisse walked away, or yeah, when Monique kind of took over. But it's like, I don't think it happened in a vacuum. I think Charisse isn't filming.
Yeah.
So Monique had to be the one filming with Kendall.
Yeah.
So it's like, it still could be coming from Charisse, or they could have been talking about it. Yes, Monique is definitely involved. Obviously, she's the one having the conversation with Kendall. But I don't think Charisse's hands are so clean as she claims.
Yeah.
It's all very interesting, and I will say, based on blogs and my conversation with Giselle, that is not going well, that relationship, Monique and Giselle. Oof. She's basically like, she can apologize and have some humility and say that she was wrong and come to me. I know.
But hasn't she said she was wrong? She admitted her part in it.
Yeah, she did. But she wouldn't say, I'm sorry to you, Giselle, and says, like, she won't. Which, I mean, I get. She doesn't feel like she owes Giselle an apology. She feels like she owes
Sherman an apology.
I don't know.
I know.
Semantics.
Right. Yeah, and it's kind of at this point, just say you're sorry and
girl,
move on.
Girl, yeah, just end it. Because what are you going to
buy her a house?
Buy her a house. Going back to that, yeah.
She should write her a rap.
Because did you notice?
An apology rap.
Yeah, yeah, an apology rap.
I thought
that's
you
perfect.
Meant a rap like a...
Like a Lisa Rinna rap.
Well, just because we're talking about reunion dresses earlier.
Because I did want to mention the end when they were clinking glasses and Giselle's like, and Monique, if she would apologize to me. And she's like, do I owe you an apology? And like, you see a little bit of it, but they kind of went back and forth that you didn't see the full extent of it. Yeah, it was like, ooh.
I think my last point is just that Charisse and Monique started talking about massage therapists. And that Monique said, no, massage therapist, not a masseuse. Masseuses do other things. Not all masseuses. I don't think that word means you give handies at the end.
Right. I don't think that part of your contract to be a masseuse includes that.
Right.
Right. It's an option for some.
For some.
For not all.
And by the way, probably also an option for some massage therapists.
Right. Right. It's like a square... Or, you know, a rectangle is a square, but a square isn't always a rectangle.
Yes.
Anyway, I love that you brought that up. Thank you. I wanted
Just Dance.
Just Dance. I wanted to, my last point, obviously, which was kind of the last point of the show, was this huge revelation from Ashley that she had had a miscarriage. They are trying to conceive.
Oh, yes.
And that her and Michael have, like, completely come together.
Yeah, there was, like, a lot of, whoa. Like,
yeah.
Wow, they're working it out. Wow, they're trying to have a baby. Wow, she had a miscarriage. Like,
right.
A lot of information.
She seems really, like, at peace with it, though. I talked to her backstage, and I have some audio from that, too, that I think we can play. And she was like, because you can hear me in the audio being like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, because she told me backstage before the reunion.
I did conceive, and I was pregnant, and we were, like, so happy for about 2 weeks, and then I had an early-term miscarriage, so...
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's okay, and that's the reaction I get from everybody, and I was sad at first, but I'm not as sad anymore, really because while I was carrying, I was really nervous to do any physical activity, so I didn't do any yoga, I didn't work out, and I didn't really feel like myself. Like, I was happy that I was incubating a baby, but I was sad that I wasn't able to be active. So even though I was really sad and crying about having lost the baby, it actually, like, reconnected me with my body. So I went to the gym, and I did yoga for, like twice a day for about 5 days straight, and it just felt really good again. I really reconnected with my body. Even though I was a little mad at it, I was like, I'm still thankful for you, girl.
So, yeah. Ladies all blogged. Not all blogged, but a lot of them did. And if you want to know like what they were really feeling after the reunion, go read those. Because Karen has a lot of feelings about Giselle.
Ooh. Yeah. think it's time for us to move on to the Real Housewives of New York reunion.
Oh, stress.
Bold statement. You ready?
Yeah.
This might be one of my favorite reunions of all time.
Oh, my Dang. God.
Certainly ties for first place of my favorite Roni reunion. All right, should we talk about these looks?
Yes.
Loved these looks.
Did Ooh, you?
Which was your obsessed. Favorite?
I think Sonia.
Sonia's my favorite, too.
She just looked so good walking up to the yeah. couch. I was like, wow, she is fine.
Like, yes. Sonia's Loved my it. Favorite overall. Like,
Head to toe.
Yeah. And usually I would find this cheesy, this being her like little crown thing, but uh-huh. it worked.
Yeah. It worked. Bethany's was my favorite beauty look. I liked the hair and the makeup. What about you?
Sonia's was my favorite. I liked Dorinda's hair. I want her to have more hair like that often because it looked really nice on her.
Yes.
And I liked her dress a lot. And mm-hmm. I was
Giovanni.
Like... Giovanni! And I also really like you can. I was just so impressed the whole time. I kept looking at her shoulders. You can tell she's training like 5 days a week, whatever she says.
Yeah.
They all looked really cohesive.
Right. Whoever was styling all of them like really thought about it. Oh, I'm sorry, Tinsley, but yours is my least favorite because it's so girly. It's just not my style.
Do you guys have anything to say about Carol?
I thought it was too covered up. Like, I feel like in person it probably was really striking, but on the couch it just seems to overwhelm her a little bit.
Hmm. Fair point.
Yeah.
What about Ramona?
Ramona every year just looks younger and better.
She looks better and better.
I know. It's insane. It was more simple, and I want something maybe a little bit more from a reunion dress. But, again, she just is stunning. I also wish she would have just come out in blue and, like, f*** your Ramona theme. Blue. I'm Ramona.
but I feel like the... Andy's vibe was the same at this reunion as it was at the season 4 reunion when he's just getting exasperated with the ladies.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
Yes.
Moving on! Shut up! Ladies, shut up!
This
would be better. I know, you're right. Okay. Ladies, Sonia, shut up. You guys, let her speak. Let her f***ing speak.
Hold on,
you guys are all f***ing talking. Shut the f*** up.
Yeah.
Seriously, shut the f*** up.
Thank you.
Wow.
Into
the various topics that were dealt with during this just part one of the reunion.
Right. I mean, we covered so much.
Ugh, so
like,
much.
I was like, are we going to run out of topics? Because we already, I mean, okay, I'll start. The topic that I couldn't wait to tell everyone about after I went to the reunion was, oh my God, they bring up Bobby Zarin's funeral and they talk about like how it was opportunistic for Bethany to film there, which...
I'm nodding. You can't see this.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
I think it's just, it was so striking to me that like, I can't believe you guys are going there.
Right. Dorinda Bamoit says something like, I mean, I wanted to know the cameras would be there so I wouldn't be on camera.
Right. Because what they didn't show is like the women were upset that they didn't know production was filming and that they wish they had been told. But so Dorinda's saying, well, I wish I'd been told so I couldn't be there. But I mean...
But also, I thought it was interesting that Bethany was like, well, they weren't filming you. They were filming me.
Yes.
About this.
So what I thought was really bizarre, because I'm just jumping right in now,
okay,
is that you told the production crew you wanted to film it. We all went without really wanting to film it, and we didn't even know you were filming it.
And I got a text.
Actually, we were invited by Jill. Yeah. We wanted to cover
that.
The funeral.
That's right.
But no one told you, but it's not your business.
She wanted
yes,
to film it.
It.
They were filming me. I don't want to be filmed at Bobby's funeral. Okay. I find it. Okay. Morbid. Because Jill's a good friend. I wanted to be informed so I could avoid the cameras at a funeral.
Right. I actually said to Bethany, speak to Jill first because I was there and she spoke to her. And then when the cameras were there, she jumped out of the car to be on camera.
Good. And I'm glad she did because I wanted to see that.
Beautiful moment. Right.
So.
Yeah. Like, and Andy doubles down being like, I'm glad that it was.
I was surprised they kept that in the reunion because it to me, Andy is always so. Not on someone's side. He's very even keel, but it was very much like I'm with Bethany on this. Yeah, she should have filmed, and I'm glad she did. But yeah, even if you think it's not in good taste to film at someone's funeral, I also don't think it's a good taste to talk about how that person, like, because now his funeral is being brought up in this context.
Right, right.
And you know what? It reminds me of something that was said on Dallas this week, which is so weird, but because Stephanie says, you want to invite DeAndre and Leanne to your party, because if you don't, then your party's not about your adoption and about your baby, but it's about, oh, we weren't invited, and that's right. What it becomes about.
Right.
So it's kind of similar to that. It's right. Like, what is it about now? Now yes. It's about, like, who was filming and who got to film, when it's like, no, it's about Bobby.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, but it was like, that was just the beginning.
I
like,
know.
That was 10 minutes.
They really dug real deep.
I thought it was crazy that, like, you know, so Andy will go around to each person to be like, so Bethany, you've moved into your new apartment. Ramona, you listed your apartment. Carol, you and Adam not together. And she was like, that's what you're giving me off the bat?
I know.
And I was like, oh. She started annoyed.
Right, right. But they all did. Ramona came in like a bulldog. Yes. The moment Bethany opened her mouth, really, Bethany? Really?
It was like... Dorinda also on fuego.
On en fuego.
I mean, and what was weird is, so I talked to her backstage, and I was like, you know, how do you think things are going to be between you and Bethany? And she was like, fine, Bethany and I don't have a problem. Can you think of one time when I had a problem with Bethany this season?
But did she say to you, like, oh, I don't have a problem with you, but it's nice that you invited Scott.
Right. But then you get to the reunion, and everything Bethany said was wrong.
Right.
Even when she said, she was talking about, thank you all for donating, whether you liked me or didn't.
That was the moment I was like, this is going to go really badly.
They all jumped on her.
She's like, no matter how we feel about each other, like, thank you all for donating. We all like you. We like you, Bethany. We like you.
That
we like
was
you.
Crazy.
We like you, Bethany. It's not about that. And she's like, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying it like,
it's not about
if you like me or not.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I mean, Andy had said before the reunion aired that he felt like the ladies were gunning for Bethany. Do you feel like that?
Yes. I definitely think that Ramona had, like, several bones to pick with Bethany. Like, not just one, not just 10. So many bones.
I mean, I don't know if we will. We're working on trying to get an interview with one of these ladies for a post-reunion recap. Because I think, for me, the biggest question is, why is the anger so deep toward Bethany?
I mean, with Dorinda, and this had parallels with Potomac, right? Because you had people asserting that people were drinking too much. And you had the same argument of, like, well, you're on camera drinking all the time. Why are you bringing up my drinking? Same with Ashley and Monique. The same with Bethany and Dorinda. So I get that's a serious accusation. I think that anybody would agree that these are, like, heavy accusations to, like, launch at anybody. So, like, I get why it's, like, so deep. Everyone else, unclear.
So, I'm glad you brought up the alcohol thing, because this is what annoyed me with both reunions. Okay. Calling someone, like, you can say that someone has an someone is an alcoholic, but you drink, right? Like, different people react different ways to things. The whole thing is handle your high. And if you can't handle it, it's not for you. So while person A might be able to have a few drinks and it's fine, person B might react horribly and it might affect their relationships. Da, da, da. I'm not saying that's the case with any of these ladies, but what a faulty argument to say you're being hypocritical because you drink too. Well, the argument isn't that alcohol is bad. The argument is you shouldn't drink, maybe. Thank you.
Yes. I agree. It's like slippery slope. If you were in debate, they'd be like, yeah, it's not like an accurate like argument. But I do get...
I get the sensitivities about it.
Yeah, yeah. But I also get, as the person being called a drunk or drunk or whatever it is, I still do not know.
I still don't know.
It's very confusing. Being like... How dare you say that to me, considering, like, because I don't think I have a problem.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, who's just, it's like, at the moment you start telling someone they have a problem, it's like, who are you to say I have a problem?
Right. Well, Bethany even said she's not in the place to say that when Andy, like, doubled down on her. Like, so
but you did.
You think she did.
You did say that. That was Dorinda's argument.
Yeah.
But you did.
Right. It's just so complicated. And I just want to give it to editing to end on Andy going, so do you think you have a drinking problem?
Next time on The Real Housewives of New York reunion, yes, part two.
Okay, so forgetting the drinking, because you're right. That is like, of course that's going to ruffle anyone's feathers.
Right.
Why the anger regarding the Nutcracker?
I still
don't understand.
Because, like, to me, okay, because I think I peeled back some layers of this nut. Ugh. Right? No, you hate it. You love it. You hate it. Because I was like, okay, what is going on? And then at one point, Carol says something to the effect of, like, you knew when it was getting delivered. So you knew, you put on this whole show about it being delivered. That wasn't authentic, right? So I was like, but to me, maybe what they're not getting and maybe what it felt like in the room was Bethany making a big show because it was being delivered during when the cameras were there. But to me, watching it, it was like she was making a big show and being thankful to Dorinda. Like, those two things weren't mutually exclusive to me.
But also, why would it matter either way? Like, let's say Bethany is putting it on for the cameras. It's over the Nutcracker. Why does it matter?
Right.
I just don't understand why it matters.
Right. Or, like, you're going to make her, like, shame her for filming the moment when it gets delivered when, like, you all film things going on in your lives.
Right, and isn't the point more of the show gauche to be like, well, you thanked me on text, not on camera.
Right. But it's like the world is opposites, right? In reality television, because, like, if it didn't happen on camera, it didn't happen. And it means more because more people know about it if it happened on camera. Even though I would think that, like, personal one-on-one time may be more important.
Yeah. So, again, that is the question that is burning in my mind. Like, I get parts of why people don't like each other, but I don't get the venom.
No, okay, what I don't get, because I get the Dorinda and Bethany thing. I get that. I don't get Ramona, because she just, I know we already talked about her having a lot of bones, but, like, I don't understand why she's so mad at Bethany, because I don't think Bethany said anything too terrible in interview, like, than she hasn't said before that they've said about each other. And Bethany's absolutely right. She's been horrible to her. They've been horrible to each other.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
No, the editing was great in that moment when she was like, Bethany, I've always supported you. And then it cuts to
this huge
montage of the nastiest things Ramona has ever said to her.
Like, one happened, like, last week. Yeah. It was like, genius. Do you think what pushed her over the edge was, I'm a Yanyi? I'm a Yanyi. Do you think that's what it was?
I honestly think it's that old adage of, like, you don't talk about the kids and you don't talk about the businesses. And for Ramona, it's like, you're not helping me make money. Right?
Bethany.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I think Bethany was sincere when she said, that's great that you had $1 million in the bank and two homes. And she's like, she thought she's being sarcastic, I guess.
Right. Oh. I just love that Sonia's in the middle, too. Like, genius. Like,
her face the entire time. She's just like, so what is going on here?
Good. I need, like, 15 memes of, like, her so just good. In the middle.
So good.
I will say, when he's not being annoyed by the ladies, Andy just had a look of pure joy on his face.
He was like a kid at a candy store.
I think it's like partly he's known them so long that he doesn't even flinch when Ramona gets out of her seat and puts, like, she basically lunges at Bethany.
Right.
But he's like, nah, she's just being
Ramona.
Just being Ramona. She's going to be fine. So, yeah, I enjoyed that. All right, should we get into this week's interviews?
Yes. I talked to Giselle about, like, it was the day after the reunion, so we were hyped up about it. Oh, and Giselle is featured in our new digital series, Housewife to Housewife.
Right.
With Candy Burris, speaking of, we talked about her earlier, and they just, like, are talking together, gabbing about housewifedom. It's pretty great.
We'll include a link in the description below.
Yes. Well, it's finally happening. Giselle Bryant is here. Yay. Oh, my God. We've been waiting all season for you to come in. I'm so happy.
Me too. Me too. This is like, and it's like towards the end of the season, so we have so much to talk about.
Oh, my God. So much to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, the reunion was just yesterday.
Yes.
How are you feeling? Yeah.
I feel good. I feel like there wasn't anything that I really wanted to address that I didn't. I feel like, I mean, I was going into the reunion not feeling like, oh my gosh, I need to have all these questions answered or anything like that. I mean, I was kind of like not the bad guy this season. So I felt good.
Yeah. You were just saying that you wanted to clear up the Kendall stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's be clear. This was not my friend. This was not anybody. I didn't have her phone number. We were not girlfriends or besties or, you know, going to have drinks. No. This was somebody that I did know. And she was brought on the show by Monique. And Monique doesn't want to own that. And that's fine. But we all know now.
Mm. Right. Because she was at her house filming.
She was at her house filming. She was, you know, her big thing through in front of the cameras was, you know, I would never invite her to an event that Giselle is also going to attend. But that's not the issue. The issue behind the scenes is you've been the master manipulator to bring her on the show and to try to hurt me. So it's just like, you know, that's why we're not friends. Like, you know, she likes to say, oh, I don't know why Giselle doesn't like me. Well, you do know because of all the things that you're doing behind the scenes to try to destroy my relationship with my boyfriend. Like, who does that?
I feel like this season things got really heavy.
Yeah. Definitely.
Why do you think that happened? Or
I think heavy with everybody a little bit. You know, I was actually shocked with Ashley that she shared that she had a miscarriage. Didn't see that coming. Actually, I was with her and I knew she was pregnant, but she wasn't saying she was pregnant. But I didn't I wasn't ready for her to say that she had a miscarriage. So that was kind of sad, kind of heavy. Karen has lost both of her parents since we filmed the show. So, you know, I don't know how she's still standing, to be quite honest with you, and really want to be there for her as a friend. Yes, we have our issues. Yes, we fuss and fight. But we do have a genuine love for one another. And no one wants to see someone that they love hurting like Karen is hurting. Monique, she's just low down and dirty, okay? So she really wants to, you know, anybody that's going to plot and plan before we even start filming to try to, you know, manipulate a plan to try to hurt me is just like somebody that I'll never consider to be a friend or anybody that I can even possibly trust. No.
I was going to say, because even the cheers at the end, there was still so much tension between you two.
Yes, because I thought that at the reunion, she would really be honest and say what she did and apologize. So, because, I mean, I'm of the belief that, no, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I throw shade. But if it's too much or if the person really, really has a problem with it, I apologize. I'm the first one to apologize. So I think she just is someone that can't own their mistakes and can't really say, yes, I've done some things that are horrible. And I have a problem with that. So there's that. And then how about this? Me and Miss Candace. I think at the end we cleared the air and, you know, I told her I'd be more than happy to come to her wedding.
I know. I was shocked that happened. So you might be there.
I think she better send me an invitation. Yeah.
Right. I know. I was so happy that happened.
Yes. I mean, I didn't know that her big issue was that she felt like I didn't want to be there. I just felt like she was not inviting me to be mean. And I'm like, that's not really mean to me because, like, I would enjoy not going and staying home. It's probably on a Saturday. I could have a long weekend. Thank you very much. But she took it as I didn't want to be there. But because she was kind of offended by it, I'm like, okay, let's all get along. And I would love to be there. I mean, who doesn't love a good wedding?
Right. Yes. And this one, we've heard so much about it. I can't wait to see it.
Wait a minute. And once he came out with those white pants and that jacket on, Lord, what is he going to wear for the wedding?
Jeez. I was like, is this a preview? And like, what we're going to get?
I said, good God, I got to be there for that.
Absolutely. Going back a little bit, do you think if Monique totally owned up and said she was sorry, would you be able to move on? Or is it like...
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely try for sure. And then, you know, there's the whole social media piece, which I hope that she took Andy's advice, because Andy's advice is like, look, if you have a social media page run by your brother, that's your official fan page, and he's just trashing the rest of these girls on the show, they can't trust you. They can't be your friend. And you know, he even gave the example of, it was my sister and she's trashing housewives, I tell her to stop. Like, you got to cut it out. Enough is enough. And she's been doing it since her first season, I guess. This is her second season. She's been doing it since day one for her.
Wow. I want to talk a little bit about how you're always next to Andy. What is that like? Is there like extra pressure on you?
Anybody who's always next to Andy is in trouble. No, I mean, you know, clearly I'm the focal point. I have a lot to say. So, you know, it's good that I'm there because I'm always tapping him like, wait a minute, I have something else. No, it's not. I don't feel like it's pressure. I just feel like you need to be ready to talk a whole lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What did you think of the couch divide?
The only shock that I figured that that's how it was going to be, but the only shock was that Robin was not next to me.
I was surprised too.
Yes, I mean, she's been next to me season one, season two. I was like, oh, they separated us. Like, and we have so many like side comments to each other that I was kind of sad she wasn't there. And I told Ashley, I was like, Ashley, I love you and all, no shade, but I want Robin next to me.
She was like, oh, Giselle.
Ashley backstage, I was asking her who is most likely to interrupt Andy, and she was like, well, definitely Giselle or Karen. That's why they're like closest.
Yes, indeed. And you know, Karen and I, we could have been there all night bickering back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, my heart went out to her when she start talking about her parents. I mean, it's just so beyond sad.
I know. Well, I wanted to talk about you went and followed her when she left.
Yeah, I actually was going to give her space because I know how I am. And I know if I'm feeling like I'm crying or in a moment, then I just want to be by myself. But no, she needed some love.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she was like really, really going through, like she was shaking. It's just too much. And I don't ever want her to feel like she doesn't have friends. And that was actually my issue with her this season. I was like, yo, you're like shutting me out when we're just trying to be your friend. But we don't know what to befriend because we don't know what's really the truth. So hopefully moving forward, things will get better.
Do you regret at all the t-shirt or anything?
That damn t-shirt. Do I regret it? Not really, only because, you know, like I said at the reunion, I asked Karen to have a conversation with me off camera. I asked, you know, if you don't want to do it off camera, let's do it on camera. I told her, I was like, yo, you shouldn't have this conversation with all the girls. It's going to go left. It's not going to be good. Now, I didn't know that she had also planned not to feed us. We always act like straight idiots when we don't have any food. And she then quoted, want to press us down. Like, what does that even mean? I don't get it. So because of all of that, I was like, yeah, I'm happy I wore this t-shirt and I'm taking it off so you can read the back. The end.
I love it.
Yeah.
What did you think of everyone's outfit?
Oh, wow. Okay, let's see. Where am I starting? Oh, let's start with Tweety Bird over there, all the way on the end. I love the yellow color. I loved her accessories. I did not like her shoes with that dress. She had on navy blue shoes.
Yeah, they were dark.
Yeah, otherwise, I was looking for something a little bit more jewelry, like a even like a pewter or just, you know, jewels on her feet.
Yeah, maybe more delicate.
Yes, but she looked fine. Monique, I think, would probably struggle trying to find a dress because she's pregnant. So we'll give her a pass.
Okay.
Karen, I didn't understand the big tool thing in the back. Like, you have to look, you have to think about it sitting down. Like, this tool is not going to work out sitting down. We just going to sit on tool all day?
I mean, that's what happened.
Yeesh. So, okay. I'll consult with her season four. Robin's dress was beautiful. Robin was content. Like, she was like, I'm going to wear a purple dress. I'm going to wear a purple dress. I'm going to look for a purple dress. If I don't find a purple dress, I'm going to get a purple dress made. Okay? And I was like, ready, set, go. So she couldn't find a purple dress. So she had that made. And I thought it was beautiful.
I loved it.
Yes. And Robin, can we say shout out to the haircut?
I know. I literally saw her in the hallway. I was like, Robin, oh my God. It looks so good.
She looked absolutely gorgeous.
She's like meant to have that hair.
I think so. Yes. Now, I did hear that short hair is hard to keep up with. Like, you really got to have it done all the time or whatever. So we'll see. But I think she looks fantastic. And then Ashley was...
She had, like, the blue...
Yeah, the light blue. I didn't think that that was... I liked the dress. I didn't think that that was the best color for Ashley. I like to see Ashley in bolder colors. Yeah, but she, you know, Ashley's fine. I feel like Ashley can kind of do a lot of things. Like, she's a pretty girl, the big hair. But yeah, I just didn't like that color.
Yeah.
And then there was me. Oh, she was great. She was fantastic. comes to slay.
You told me about your earrings before I saw them, but they were amazing.
My dress?
Your earrings.
My earrings, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were so good.
I was unsure a little bit. And then, you know, our stylist is Eric Archibald. And, you know, he has this accent. And he was like, darling, the earrings, yes, everything. So I was like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah, no, they like went, but they weren't matchy-matchy.
Right.
So that, I loved them.
You're right. And I think it just like totally set the whole look off.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I wanted to talk a little bit about Ray kind of like gave it to you a little bit at the reunion.
He did. And you know what? I let him do it. You saw me. I just sat there and everything in me said, just let him have his moments. Ray doesn't take into accountability his wife and her actions. He wants to put it all on Giselle. Like, Giselle's the bad guy. But I did feel bad about, let's be clear. Was the Ray Erica story true? Yes. Did I need to tell the world? No. So, you know, Karen and I have known each other for years. There's a whole lot of things I could say about Karen, and I don't. It's not necessary. And that was probably one of the things. But I did apologize.
You did. I did.
I was like, hold up. Let me do this now. He was like, I don't want to hear it. Whatever.
Right. He just like repeated himself at the end again.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But again, like, you can't, you can't talk about all the ladies and not take into accountability your wife. Like, if you want to say that you wish we were nicer to each other, well, you got to tell your wife to be nicer to me.
Absolutely.
The end.
Yeah. Even after yesterday, do we think she lives in that house?
Like I said yesterday, I think she lives in a portion of it. Now, mind you, I just did another interview and I said, no, I don't think she lives there. So
you're telling us one thing and the other people, Giselle.
I know, I got to get it together. All right. So, I mean, I don't know. And truth be told, like, you know, it's weird. Let me tell you why it's weird. You know, Potomac is a small town. People ask me about these girls all day long. And they ask me all the time, like, does Karen really live in Great Falls? And I get that question from random people at the gas station. And I just feel like I really want to be, like, confident in my answer. And I'm just not.
What is that like? What do people always ask you?
Okay. First question. I mean, when I tell you first question, is Karen crazy? And I'm like, absolutely. Okay. She's absolutely crazy. But I love her. Second question, is Ashley married to the old man? And I'm like, yes. And I like the old man. Yes, we like Michael. And you know what? Side note, he really teared up when Ashley started talking about the miscarriage and everything. And I was like, oh my God. Like, from going from, I don't know if this man wants to have kids, to they got pregnant and he's really upset that she lost the baby, was really nice to see. So kudos to Michael. And Michael let Ray have it, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
That was epic. All right, on that note, goodbye.
I'm so sad I miss Giselle.
I know. Just, if anything, to be, like, in her presence, because she's truly one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen up close. Yes. Did she do your makeup?
She did for the Facebook Live.
How was that like?
It was great. She said I was beautiful, so basically I am beautiful, she said so. But
we already knew that, Nicole.
I know, but when Giselle says it, like, it's real.
She's never said that I'm beautiful, so.
Well, Rachel. But yeah, it was fun.
Did you get any free Every Hue
swag? Yeah, I got
swag?
I got some setting spray.
Ooh.
And some highlight.
Whoop, ooh. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
Amazing. I also talked to Brandi Redmond. Dallas continues this week. I told you this, and you were super excited about it.
What?
The Andy Cohen moment. An embarrassing email
yes,
she sent.
Yes, okay. I can't
it's
wait for
crazy.
You guys to hear the interview just for this fun fact. So, go.
Well, we are here with Brandi Redmond.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being on. Yes. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you. I always love seeing you.
Yeah, I know. Season three. Can you believe it?
Season three. It's a good one.
I have the best memory of you. When I first met you, you were in the Bravo offices and you found out you were going to be on Watch What Happens Live and you got so emotional.
Yes, I did. I started crying. I mean, Andy's been my celebrity crush for a very long time. So, yes, I was very excited. And then, of course, when I actually met him for the first time, I started bawling, crying, and aww, and our makeup and hair were like, no, stop.
Well, how is it going, looking back at that moment now and where you are now with the show?
You know, it's always surreal to me that, you know, to have this experience. And, you know, it's been one of those things that people always ask, like, do you have anything that you regret or anything that you would change? And I have to say that, you know, one of the best things about being a part of this is being authentic and being genuinely who you are and being vulnerable. And I think that I've kind of always been that way. And so just to kind of put it out there and show that, you know, I am real, I am relatable, and people can see the ups and downs, and it might even help people get through it just like it did me.
Yeah. So no regrets.
No regrets. No. Maybe. I mean, I'd still do it. Go to a male strip club, but maybe not on camera. That got me into a lot of trouble.
Well, I want to talk about your recent adoption of baby Bruin Charles.
Yes.
We have this amazing digital series on BravoTV.com showing your journey. But how is he?
Oh my gosh, he is amazing. He is so precious, the happiest baby, and he's crawling. He's saying dada. I cannot get him to say mama. So that's upsetting, but my husband loves it.
Oh, so his first word, dada?
His first word is dada.
Aw.
Yes.
And then in the clips, we see that your daughter was the one to be like, what about Bruin Blue? Did she come up with his name?
Well, she came up when my husband always wanted to name a boy Bruin. I like the name too. But yeah, the blue was dropped off, but at least he has red in there, right?
We'll leave it for Blue Ivy.
Yes.
And where did the Charles come from?
That is a family name. Brian's middle name is Charles, his dad, and then his grandfather, great grandfather. So it's kind of been passed around. So.
Oh, that's just so exciting. And how are the girls? Have they adjusted to having a new baby brother?
They have. You know, it's the journey is incredible because it's something that the whole thing happened so quickly. And, you know, we weren't really looking to adopt. And the whole journey is just really priceless. And I don't even know how to explain it. I've told people that, you know, I had an adopted little brother, and my parents had us at a very young age. I have three brothers, two of them which are my biological brothers and one adopted. And so my parents had us very young, and then when they decided to adopt, it kind of happened suddenly, and I thought, no, what are you doing? You have to start all over again, and we're finally leaving, and you're starting all over, and you need to experience life, you know, have fun. Not that they didn't have fun with us there, but you know how it is. Kids, your whole life kind of changes when you have children. It's not like, you know, you can just go out and party and do whatever you want. Or you could, but so anyways, long story short, I just didn't understand it. And I didn't know, I mean, I didn't understand, like, oh, why are you doing this again? Do you really love them? Like, the, you know, you love us. And they always said, you know, it's just unconditional love. It doesn't matter. And they're amazing parents. And so when this happened, I thought, oh my gosh, well, I'm not, you know, looking to adopt or anything, but Stephanie texted me and said, hey, do you want to adopt a baby boy? And I replied and I said, a dog or a human? So, yeah. And then she responded, a human, call me. So we ended up flying to meet him. He was in the NICU. He was born early. He was born on December 31st. And so, aww, he's a New Year's Eve baby.
Yeah.
So that'll always be fun for him. There will always be a party on his birthday. But
yes.
But he was in the NICU, and that just all happened so quickly. And I'm probably ranting on it. So sorry.
No, I love it. You know, watching it, when you say, like, I'm going to, like, get teary just talking about it. I knew he was my son when he wrapped his little hand around my finger.
Yeah.
It's just like, was so beautiful.
Yeah, no, it is. It's amazing. I mean, he had teen parents, biological parents, and I think it's a very, like, admirable thing to you know, to give them up and make the best choice for, you know, this child. And So yeah, I'm very lucky. We're very, very fortunate. Yeah, and he's just so precious. The girls love him. But it has been, you know, you're going to see that journey on the show, just the girls being so excited about bringing him in, you know, to the home. And then that shock value of like, wait, I'm not the baby anymore. Wait, mommy doesn't have time for me as much. So you're going to see all of that and kind of, you know, those tearjerker moments that, you know, you're like, oh, what did I get myself into? But it's worth it.
Oh, it's so good to hear. Well, speaking about the rest of the season, I kind of want to start off with at the end of the last reunion, you and Carrie were still kind of on shaky ground. Mm-hmm. Where are you guys now going into the season?
Carrie and I, you know, first I have to say that having Bruin really put things into perspective for me when the season started back up. And, you know, I just wanted to put all the nonsense and the pettiness behind us and give everybody a clean slate, including Leanne. And so going into it, that was my mentality. And, yeah, so I think you'll see, you know, when I don't know where this would be yet, but I'm really trying with all of the ladies, including Cameron, you know, but Carrie and I currently we're in a good place. And so, yeah.
Good. Speaking of Leanne, I get the sense that even just based on the super tease, this maybe peaceful moment doesn't last very long.
Well, yeah, you know, yeah, she uses her hands.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I want to say that I think that Leanne is trying. I do think that she's trying, but you know, you are who you are. Can't last too long.
Yeah, I was going to kind of ask you, in the first episode, we see her really trying to get zen. Are you buying into all of it? Or is it like you say that she is trying?
I can see her trying, but then it's like almost behind everything. There's always like manipulation and tactics that she does. And then it all kind of comes forward as everything kind of unveils.
I wanted to talk about, I know Stephanie and Leanne have kind of gotten close. Is that weird for you at being her best friend?
No, I mean, Stephanie's a big girl, and I, you know, I'm not somebody to say who you can and cannot be friends with. I just, you know, if that's a relationship that she wants to have, then I support it. And, you know, and I think it's great that I think that Leanne for the first time sees the Stephanie that I know and love and, you know, in kind of giving her a chance. I think that Leanne had judged her for a long time.
Yeah, Stephanie said that she kind of realized that she was holding a grudge against Leanne on your behalf. And then she was like, at the end of the day, when you two get along, she's like, well, why am I mad now?
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. Like,
yeah, I don't know if I really believe that. I mean, because she did dress up her as two-faced. So come on, Stephanie. Let's be honest.
That is true. It's not like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute.
That is true. Oh God, what an episode. Yeah, you guys like, always go to like the 10th level and it's amazing. Thank you as a viewer. I wanted to talk a little bit about your tagline.
Okay, yeah.
Do you know what it is this season?
I do.
Can you? I don't even know it. Could you reveal it
not,
for us?
I may not say it. I've only heard it once, but
that's okay.
I believe it is. This is not my first rodeo, so I'm not taking your bull.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
I love it. Very Texas.
It's very Texas.
Did you have any alternatives that like didn't make the cut?
There were some. You know, I have my own tagline, and I keep trying and trying to get it, and it just will never happen. I don't understand.
What is it?
This ginger is the real deal, and I have the red carpet to prove it.
I don't see any problem with that. Why wouldn't they use that? Oh my God, I'm for that one.
Yeah, I am too.
Maybe funny, season four.
I know. There's actually a funny story behind that because I was very upset last year when the tagline that got chosen, and so after a little Jesus juice, I decided that I was going to message Andy about my tagline and ask him why I didn't get my, you know, red carpet one. And I asked him if he wanted me to trim some and put them in a baggie and send them to him. And he could tell me, like, was it not red enough? Or
did you send the message?
I sent the message. And let me tell you something. The next morning, I woke up and I was like, no, I did not do that. I did not do that. And then he responded. And
what did he say?
He just said, ha ha, and he said, I'll see you soon.
Oh, great. Yeah, Andy, I mean, that cannot be the wildest email Andy Cohen has ever gotten.
No. Yeah, well. Yeah, well, that was pretty embarrassing.
So maybe that's your one regret.
Well, maybe, and it wasn't even on the show, but I'm happy to share it with everyone.
No, that's any kind of stories like that, please
tell me. We've all drunk texted, right?
Oh, my God. Yes, and for everyone's had that next day you wake up and you're like, what did I just do?
There needs to be a recall button.
Right? Or like after 3 a.m. or 2 a.m., it's just like it cuts you off.
Yes, exactly.
I think we just invented a really good app.
Yeah, let's do it.
Right? I want to talk a little bit about the Super Tease because there were some mysteries I was hoping you could help me solve. Are you and Cameron okay? Because we see you like making out.
Like I said, I really tried with all of the ladies. But I mean, I'm going to be who I am. But I will say for Cameron, I did try to respect her boundaries a little bit more. And then I completely failed making out with her.
Yeah, maybe that is another boundary. Right. That, like, she doesn't want to cry.
I know she liked it.
Yeah, who wouldn't? And then do you have any idea what Leanne meant by she's the toilet of the group?
I mean, if that's your claim to fame, go for it, girl.
We all watch the teaser.
Maybe it's because she thinks everybody sh**s on her, which is completely the opposite, sister.
Okay. Yeah, and the watch me flush it, bitch. That was an interesting line.
Yeah. She's a very interesting girl.
Yes. We also saw her kind of clashing with Deandra, which I was shocked by.
Yeah. I was shocked, too.
Yeah.
Very shocked.
Did you find yourself closer to Deandra because maybe she's on the outs with Leanne now? Did you get to know her better?
Well, I think what's really interesting about the whole thing is that I went in, you know, I told you that I really wanted to have like an even ground with everyone. In Stephanie's relationship with Leanne, that's her relationship. I wasn't going to push her one way or another or give her advice. That's her thing, right? However, as we're going along, I learned that Leanne is putting things in Deandra's ear about not being friends with me, and that all comes out. And so it's very interesting. And I think that, yes, I was very upset about it because, you know, I'm trying to have a relationship with all of the ladies. But yeah, so you'll see kind of things kind of switch it up a little bit. But yeah, I'm shocked. And it's funny because for a while I thought, well, maybe they're competing against each other. And, you know, I had this opinion that possibly Leanne was jealous of Deandra because, you know, Deandra has, you know, she has got this family Dallas name that Leanne talks all about all the time. And Deandra has this mother that's very involved with her. She has a career and all of these things that, you know, Leanne really doesn't have. So I felt like maybe there was a little bit of jealousy there. Yeah.
And then I wanted to ask about this trip to Copenhagen.
Yeah.
So that's because Carrie's family's from Copenhagen.
Yes.
How was it?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the city is beautiful. You know, it's known as the happiest place on earth. So
I didn't know that.
Yes. So you can't help but be happy. And they encourage drinking. Like, if you don't drink, they think you're weird. And I learned that. So
I'm guessing you guys fit right in.
Yeah, we were like, yeah. I mean, I think they were going to name me the president.
I love it.
But yeah, it was super fun. There's obviously some explosions that happened. I will say I have never seen so mad. I thought she was mad at me before, but she explodes.
She does?
She does, yeah. I mean, you saw the Super Tease, and she was like, is that the way your mother talks to you or treats you? She was intense. I mean, it was crazy.
What do you do in those situations when you're at dinner and someone, and that's happening?
So I got pretty hammered. And I was like building everybody's glasses and making like a glass pyramid with everybody's empty glasses. And I was just having a really good time. And then when started hitting the fan, I was like, wait, what just happened?
I was making my glass pour over here.
I know. I was like, wait, I was trying to make a castle. But yeah, so it got intense. And then, you know, I thought was going to punch. And we had to separate them. It was pretty intense.
Wow. these trips with you guys, it always seems something goes awry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I loved the city. They, one of the things that they do with their babies is, like, they'll go eat at a restaurant and they'll leave their baby carriage with the babies, like, out. They have, like, a little parking areas for your stroller with the baby in it, so you don't take your baby in. So you literally can, like, go bar hopping and just tootle your baby around and park it and go in. I'm like, wait, this is amazing.
Do I need to move to Copenhagen?
Right?
That does sound amazing.
I know. And so I do sound like I like to drink a lot, but definitely on vacation.
Right. Of course. A girl's trip.
Yes.
Is there anything else you want to say about the season? What viewers should look for?
No. I mean, it's I think we all, we all worked really hard to be authentic and bring it. And I think we... I don't know. I thought we were all going to kill each other by the end, but we made it, and now we can have a break from each other.
Right.
Well, not so much, because now we have to watch it back.
Right. What is that like, watching it back? Do you get, like, all upset again watching it back? Are you able to have some distance?
You know, with everybody, I usually am like, whatever. I kind of, like, let it just, you know, roll off. I think that, you know, last season with Stephanie, that was very hard because I love her so much. And I thought that I handled that situation very immaturely and I could have done it better. When you were asking if there was something that you could possibly change, I think it would just be handling that relationship, like being a little bit more sensitive to it. And, you know, so that was hard. And so, but I don't foresee us ever going through anything like that ever again. As a matter of fact, there was one point where I ended up having to call Stephanie out on something that happened, and I just said, Stephanie, you did that? And she was like, yes.
I love it. What was it?
It was actually from last season when Stephanie told Cameron and Carrie that Leanne was not allowed in my home, which was true, and Brian was the one that said it. We had all been to a trampoline park, and he just said, she's not coming into our home, and, you know, she's not welcome. She's, you know, she said these things about us and blah, 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 blah. So anyways, that wasn't her place to tell the other ladies. And so it got brought up. Leanne brought it up. And yeah.
Yeah. Is that rule still in place by Brian?
You know, I haven't asked him. I really have not asked him, but I mean...
The face is unclear. That's what I'm seeing. Maybe I'll follow up with you in a couple weeks.
Okay. And we'll yeah, I'll out. Let you know. I'll ask him. He's out in L.A. Hey, babe.
By
can
the way,
Leanne come over?
Thank you so much for your time. This all sounds amazing. I can't wait to watch the season.
It's so good. I think everyone's going to be so happy. Like, it's so funny. Stephanie and I, I don't even want to give it away, but it is so freaking funny. Like, where I literally peed on myself laughing. So, yes.
You pulled like a Vicky Gumbelson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In the snow.
I love it.
It's so fun.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me.
Yes, season 3.
Woohoo!
See, that's what I love about Brandy. She's relatable.
Right.
She, too, gets drunk and calls her boss.
I have yet to...
JK, guys, I don't get drunk and call my boss.
I was like, remember? That's not all. I also talked to Mike from Shaws of Sunset and fell really hard in love for him.
You were already in love with him.
I know. I already really love Mike. But Nicole,
I'm a believer
love,
now.
She's yeah.
He got
she's
really deep, like talking about relationships.
It was like, no, I've always had kind of a thing for Mike, especially when he's like serious and speaks Farsi on the show. And then he was very serious here and talked about twin flames. It was really intense.
Oh my God, I remember that comment.
I know.
I just prepare to fall in love, everyone.
Yeah. Well, we are here with Mike Shoehead.
Yeah.
Yay. Can I call you Mikey June?
Yes.
Yay.
Please.
You were just saying 7 seasons.
Yes.
Can you believe it?
Can you believe it?
I can't. I love Shaws, so I would watch it forever. So.
Who's your favorite?
This is a guy named Mike.
Oh, me too. He's so dreamy.
Speaking of that, I feel
but he has an ego.
Oh, I've heard. Some people might say that. Some people are saying Nima's the cutest Shaw now.
I think so.
You think so too?
Yeah, if you're into that, like, Oh, I was going to say something mean. No, he's amazing.
Please go ahead.
If you're into that, like, very skinny, no muscle, double chin look, yeah, he works.
I was looking at his...
Look at me talking about all his insecurities.
You two seem close now, though.
Yeah, well, you know, I went on a date with his sister, so...
That makes men close.
He could be an uncle soon.
Well, speaking of your dating life, I have to ask about... you were super into Mona, one dinner, yeah. Not anymore.
Right.
What happened?
You know, Mona's a beautiful girl. Aesthetically, very pleasing. I appreciated that. But... You know, when you get to know somebody and you just don't vibe, great girl, just not right for me.
But you're still a believer in love. Like, you still want that and to get married.
Absolutely. I'm a hopeless romantic. I love to love. I want to be in a relationship. I want to have children. I want to have little Mikeys running around. You can't give up on love. You know, it's like riding a bike. Just because you fall down a few times, you're not going to stop riding a bike. Some people do, and then they spend the rest of their lives saying, oh, I wish I knew how to ride a bike, or I wish I wouldn't have quit, so I'm not going to be that person. I've had some bad relationships. It happens. I learn. I grow, and I become the best version of me through those relationships, and one day I'll find my twin flame, my soulmate, and everything about her will be right, and everything about me will be right to her, and we'll progress.
Reza says something funny in a preview that I saw, that you're always trying to find a girl that your mom would like, but you don't go for girls that your mom would like. So matching those together becomes problematic for you. Would you say that's true?
I think Reza speaks like he knows, as a matter of fact, but he's just a comedian and he talks a lot of smack. And God bless him, because there's things about Adam that are so irritating. So irritating. Holy f***.
Like what?
Just talks out of place, or like just, he's obsessed with butterflies. And I'm like, what the f***? Reza, you went to what? CatCon? What is that? What kind of Persian guy are you?
I mean, it's
CatCon? What the f***? He's like, yeah, Adam took me for my birthday. I was like, oh, what a great gift.
Oh, Reza likes cats.
Yeah, but he's not like a 90-year-old woman that has 50 of them in his house. Well, he's getting there. But speaking of which, I got him the cutest cat for his birthday.
Aww.
No, for his birthday. What did I get him a cat for? Do you remember? Anyways, so his cat died. Aww. His cat Buzz died. And... he loved this cat, and his cat got sicker and sicker and became blind and deaf, and, you know, he wouldn't put him down. And then finally, you know, Buzz decided that it was his time to go. And seeing my best friend be in so much pain really, truly hurt me. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get him a dope cat. I'm going to find him a Persian cat, and I'm going to gift it to him. A, because I love him and he's like my brother. B, because he helped me remodel my entire house, and I burdened him with that huge responsibility. And just being an animal lover, I knew that I'm going to find a cat that is going to get a great home with Adam and Reza. So I found a cat that was in Big Bear, a Persian cat. I drove all the way to Big Bear, got the cat, brought it back, fell in love with this cat, and I'm not really a cat person on the way home. I'm like, what should we name this cat? Old cat was Buzz. I'm going to name him Woody.
Oh, my God. That is so cute.
Yeah, because, you know,
yeah,
Toy
Buzz
Story.
And Woody. Yeah.
So, and it just, it's a perfect correlation. Like, you get it. Like, me and him are best friends.
Friends, Woody and Buzz. Yeah. Oh, so, that's so sweet. I love it.
To see Reza and Adam's face light up, and they both were in tears when I gave them this cat. They love this cat, and it's just a perfect addition to their home. So it's just, I hooked them up.
I love that. Speaking of Reza and Adam, we have Reza and Adam, MJ and Tommy. Yeah. Whose relationship would you want to emulate? Oh, I'm getting a look that's neither, maybe? Because I imagine you look to your friends, you know, to See, because I do that in my personal relationships.
I love them both so much, and I love their relationship so much, and I love Tommy, and I love Adam. I'm different. The way I operate is completely different than their relationships. Now, that's not necessarily right or wrong because, you know, well, it's too early to tell with MJ and Tommy, but I love how Tommy loves MJ. Like, he adores her, and he's so attentive to her. So I love parts of that relationship. I wouldn't necessarily, I would like to emulate that because I could never be in a relationship with someone like MJ because I would just go nuts because she's so scatterbrained when she does stuff. Super intelligent, but just has these blonde moments that are like, just, they drive me crazy. And then with Adam, like, collecting butterflies and like being
CatCon.
Like, they're moving into their new home, and I'm like, why, Reza, why isn't your husband helping you? He's like, because I want it done right. I'm like, what does that mean? You know what I mean? Like, yo, you have a partner, you should ask him to help you. But because Adam is, because Reza's so controlling, and Adam does things in like this interesting way of doing things, Reza really doesn't call on him. So it's weird. I wouldn't. No, I like the relationships, but I have my own style of doing things.
Who do you think will be the next Shaw to get married?
I think I'm going to be the next one to get married.
You ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready to be a dad. I'm ready to be a dad. I'm really weird. Like, when I see kids, I'm like, oh, baby. And then the mom will look at me like, what are you doing? No, I'm not a creepy guy. I swear, I just, so cute. Oh, thank you. I'm like, we'll take the baby. Like, like, hide them from me. Like I'm some sort of weirdo. I just love kids. Yeah. They're so precious. They're so innocent. And like, having the opportunity to mold a young person into being an amazing adult that can, you know, maybe find the cure for cancer one day, or, you know, just be an amazing human being that's a humanitarian, like, helps the world with what it's missing. Who knows? But there's so many kids out there that are troubled and don't have the right type of guidance growing up, that I can't wait to bring someone into the world that can counteract that.
Gigi was saying how she wants to have kids too. I know MJ and Tommy want to. You could all have kids like at the same time. How is she doing with the divorce? Is she dating anyone now?
Conessa is like this bionic woman who has zero emotion, it feels like. Like, she's like, oh yeah, I'm divorced. So what? F him. I'm done. Peace. And me, I was like a child, like baby pose, crying on my couch, would eat once a day, like depressed. So just people just deal with their emotions differently. But she's a soldier. But I don't really think she was in love with Shalom. Because if you truly love somebody, like truly love them, regardless of how bad they were, you have some downtime. And you know, it's been a while since they got divorced, and usually people maybe put up a good front and then like break down later on in life. But she's still strong as ever. Like, yo, I'm good. I'm still looking for a sperm donor. You know? Do you know what I mean? I was like, yo, you should put an ad on Craigslist. You never know.
And then Destiny, well, I want to talk to you about her. Yeah. She's being a lot more involved this season. Right. We love her on the show. Mm-hmm. She's dating now. Do you have any advice for her?
Yeah, just, you know, she's just, let your guard down. Right? So you want a girl that is somewhat, you know, picky. But I think that Destiny's overly picky. Like, she's just so hard to break through. She doesn't show her emotions. She's not like playful. She's not flirty. Like, I took her on a date with one of my boys last year, and this guy was like exactly what she likes. She likes Latin dudes. He's Latin. He dances. He's fun. He's successful. And he's trying to make her laugh, and she's just like guarded, you know, like bobbing and weaving, like as if they're in a boxing match. I'm like, no, babe, like, it's cool to flirt. You know, like, make him feel good about himself. Make him know that you like him. But she's not that way because she's very guarded. And I'm hoping that she puts her guard down so that someone can break through and see that side of her so he can fall in love with her. And then in return, he'll show her a side of him that he doesn't show everybody else. Because mm-hmm. I'm that way. Not everyone gets the, you know, very soft and sensitive Mike. Because mm-hmm. we all carry around a shield. And it takes the right person for us to put our guard down and let you in. So unless she gets that way, I don't think she's going to find the right guy.
I wanted to talk to you because we ended last reunion with Asa and then she's not back. And you two kind of seemed on some tenuous footing or, mm-hmm. you know, sensitive footing. How are you now?
I love Asa. She's a wonderful, wonderful girl, hardworking, dedicated to her man, dedicated to her son. And I respect that. You know, me and her had a falling out because she tried to throw daggers at me because, you know, we are on a reality show and there are taboo subjects that need to be spoken of. And, you know, unfortunately, she took that as me being intrusive in her relationship. And that wasn't the case. It's like, yo, speak on what's up. You know, I spoke on the fact that my ex-wife is not Jewish. She's not Persian. She converted. How my parents felt about it. How my friends felt about it. Like, let's talk about these things, right? Let's get to the core. And she felt like she was being cornered and she took it in an offensive way. And we had a falling out. But I can't take away from the fact that she is a good person. And I love the fact that she's a good girlfriend, wife, whatever you want to call it, to Jermaine, and she's an amazing mother to Sultan. And I respect the fact also that she decided to take some time off from the show and just watch her son grow up. That's a big step, you know, because like you're not getting that money, you're not getting that fame, you're not getting that television time. It's hard, you know, for your ego, for your, like, you're just your whole being, like, you know, like sometimes I think I'm like, if this show ends, how am I going to react? It's going to be hard, you know, because you get used to it. You're like, oh, people know who I am. This is kind of cool. I have this platform. So for someone to step away from that voluntarily, props.
Absolutely. Speaking of being on reality television, how does that affect like your dating life? I imagine it's so different.
So hard. When I met Morgan, I was at the gym at Equinox and I'm working out and I see this beautiful girl, like as far as that girl sitting there, right? And she's working out with her trainer and she's wearing this Yankees hat, baseball cap, like pulled down, and she keeps like looking up. And every time she looks up, the bill lifts up on her hat and I see these two big, beautiful blue eyes just like looking at me like, is she looking at me?
That ego that everyone's talking about.
So I'm like, I play like hard to get, like I'm not even looking at you. I turn around, I'm working out, like, why she keep looking at me type thing, you know? And I can't help but like turn around to make sure she's still looking. And I'm like, this girl is so hot. Oh my God, you know? She's probably not looking at me. So I was working up the courage to try to talk to her and I didn't. And I just, I'm like, I'm done with my workout and I left. The next day I'm at the gym and I'm on the leg machines. I'm doing some leg exercises. So I'm sitting stationary and I have my headphones on and I'm making these ugly faces out of the workout because that's just the way I roll. And her trainer walks up to me and taps me on the shoulder. She's like, hey. I'm like, hello. She's like, do you remember me? I'm like, did we date? You know, as a joke. Like, she's like, no. And she starts laughing because I didn't want to make it awkward. I knew who she was. She goes, do you remember that girl I was working out with yesterday? I was like, oh, the one with the blue eyes. She's like, yeah. Well, her name's Morgan. She wants me to give you her phone number. I was like, what? That's kind of crazy. Okay. Yeah. So I got her phone number. And she's like, what's your name? I'm like, oh, Morgan. Okay. And I texted her. This girl didn't text me back for 3 hours.
3 hours?
3 hours. I'm like, yo, it's a little too late to be playing hard to get now. You know what I mean? You had your trainer give me your phone number, and now you don't want to text back for 3 hours. Like, what were you doing for the last 3 hours? She's like, do you like cookies? I'm like, cookies? She's like, yeah, cookies. Like, cookies? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, of course I love cookies, because if she's asking me, It's a lead question. Like, and this is going to make or break me. I don't want to wait another 3 hours. She's like, meet me on Melrose and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to bring you some of the best cookies you've ever had. So she had this infatuation with this place called Milk in LA. This girl rolls up in this huge lifted Jeep with big tires. And I'm sitting there on the corner waiting for her. I'm like, okay, this is weird. There's no cookie places around here. And she goes to park her car and she parks on top of the curb. And this is all by mistake because she doesn't know how to drive. And she hops out. And I'm like, you parked a little weird. She goes, that's all right. Don't worry about it. We're good. And I'm like, oh my God, this chick is a gangster. I like this. And she's got like 8 bags of cookies, you know, like the little like.
Little wraps. Yeah. Of,
she goes, I didn't know what flavor you like, so I got a bunch. And we started eating cookies and sitting on this corner on this like stoop in front of a store, eating cookies and just talking. And just like that, we clicked. I was like, this is the cutest thing ever. And I found out that she loves Captain Crunch flavored cookies. And this is like her thing. And like, I just knew what, like, being the best version of myself, I was like, note to self, she likes cookies. So like, I would just surprise her every couple of days with cookies. And she loves like these other chocolates and that have like caramel in the middle of it, like Garibaldi.
I know what you're talking. Ghirardelli.
Ghirardelli. Yes, she's like addicted to those chocolates. So, it was just a dope relationship. Like, I literally was so proud of myself the way I handled this relationship because it was the first time that I acted like the man that I always knew I should be and wanted to be, and reminded myself of how my dad treats my mom, because I saw in her a lot of qualities that my mom also possesses. Very smart, very attentive, like just go-getter.
Well, I think that's all the time we have.
So much fun. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for being so open, and that was amazing.
Can't do anything with closed doors.
And now I want a Persian cat.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say you want a Persian boyfriend. And I was like, shit, I'm a Persian cat. I guess I didn't interview
well. I mean,
that's
true. That's true. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you.
So you're all invited to the wedding. We're going to do spring.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Nicole's not convinced that Rachel will get him.
Go ahead, girl. Go.
So basically, 3 amazing interviews. You're welcome. Let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
All right, what's your rose, Megan?
Okay, so it was definitely Below Deck Med because we've already talked about how Colin has been overlooked all season in terms of
love.
In terms of Brooke, like Brooke, she's ignoring this guy who's basically like the ducky, if you will.
Yes.
If you want to make a Pretty in Pink reference.
Oh my God. But I would say Joao is not, it's not Blaine. He's
Steph.
Yes. James Spader.
Yeah.
Who was the hottest one in that movie.
He kind of was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that aside, like Colin's already adorable. His parents come to surprise him. And he starts crying when he sees them. Like, that is the guy you marry and have kids with.
Right.
Brooke.
I know. It was, like, so sweet.
What's your rose?
My rose was this week MJ is wedding planning. And I just, like, God bless Seacrest Productions or whoever does Shaw's. Because she's talking about her dream wedding. And she's like, I want it to be a fairy woodland. And then rather than just let her talk about it, they, what I assume is stock images and stock footage of like a tree opening his eyes with a face. There's like a fairy princess. It's so...
We are going to include, because it's so visual, we'll include a link to this clip because you guys need to watch it.
I watched it like 5 times when I was watching the episode because I was like, what is actually happening right now?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. But your thorn.
Oh, my thorn is Shaws of Sunset. Having to live through the moment that Nima decides to tell his girlfriend, yeah, I almost kissed Gigi, and yeah, there's mad chemistry between us.
It's just been kind of like killing me. It's been eating me alive for like days.
Can you get to the point?
Yes, I can get to the point. There was like almost a kiss.
Nima, how dare you make us go through that with you? That was so awkward, and I felt so bad for her because you could tell she was feeling murderous in that moment, but had to keep it in check because there were cameras.
She was literally like, I have to go right now. I can't talk to you anymore about this. Because I mean, the rage was like right there.
Yes.
I think she was completely blindsided too. They were talking about like doing dishes right before or something in the house that they live in together.
Nima.
What's your thorn?
Wait, quick thing. Did you guys see his Instagram post today?
No, what?
Or maybe not today. I don't remember. But he basically posted something promoting that episode and was like, I would tag her, but she blocked me for life.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he blocked for life.
Crazy.
That's I would block him for life, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
sure. You make a fool of me on TV?
Right.
National TV girl.
You not only made a fool of me, but you made a fool of the life. Remember in Love Actually?
No. Oh, wait, it's Emma Thompson. Emma Thompson?
Oh, we.
At the end. I'm sorry, you didn't do the accent. Okay. So I didn't know. Do it again with the accent.
Let me get the exact quote.
Yes, but you've also made a fool out of me, and you've made the life I lead foolish. Remember?
Oh. Yeah, now I get it. Now I remember it.
Nicole loves it. She loves my British accent. My thorn is my British accent, but then also, I have two, because it's from the same episode. I know I keep cheating. I keep cheating. It's either Mama D being, like, so mean. I don't know what other word to use.
I don't give a flip what you do.
I don't give a rip what you do. Right. When she's like, can I leave the company with my business, Mom? And she's like, I don't give a rip what you do. And then she's like, said something else crazy, and she, Deandra's like, not talking to you, but can't work. Like, I didn't like not talking to you, and she's like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. We're done. It's like, and then when Deandra said, the way my mother manipulates me is through money. She controls me through money. The whole thing, I was like, she's jealous. Her mom is going to watch that episode and be so mad.
Mama D, if you want to give your side of the story, feel free to come on the podcast.
She's just going
to
be so mad that Deandra said, who's jealous of who? I'm 23 years younger. Mm. My face moves when I have emotions. Who knows if Deandra remembers saying that. Anyway.
Well, you guys should tell us your roses and thorns. Tweet us at BravoTV using the hashtag BravoDailyDish, or you can find us, you know, a la carte on Twitter and Instagram.
A la mode.
With ice cream. Okay. I'm at Meg Segura.
Everywhere. And I'm at Rachy Robb on Twitter and on Instagram at Suspiciously Small.
And I'm at... With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss